Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 to 13, the seventh seal and introduction of seven trumpets. Father, we come before you and we ask that you would bless our time as we continue to study through this incredible book, the book of the Apocalypse, the book of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation. And God, I ask that you would open up our understanding, lead us, guide us, enable us through the power of the Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in chapter 8, Christ continues direct judgment on earth by opening the seventh seal. We'll begin in verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunders, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of the water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Now, let me start off by saying this. There are those who use verse 1 to say that women will not be in heaven because there is silence for half an hour. Hey, but I want to go down on record as saying I strongly oppose that position, all right? Oh, the seventh seal. It's opened and it introduces the beginning of seven trumpets. Now, one thing we need to keep in mind, Jesus is the one doing these things. He's in full control. He's bringing the wrath of God on this planet because mankind has rejected God and the gift for mankind through the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus is presented in Revelation in all his glory as a judge of all the earth. And as this judgment is falling, I want you to understand men are not lost because they are sinners. They're lost because they've rejected Christ who died for them. Here the Lord now stops everything in heaven, hell, and on earth for the space of half an hour. Nothing can move without Jesus allowing it. Last time we saw him stop the natural forces on earth in order to seal the 144,000 Jews. What was the result of that delay? A multitude of people got saved. Again, for a brief moment, there is a stop in judgment. It's literally the calm before the storm. I truly believe Jesus is giving people on this planet opportunity to repent of their sins and to get right with Him. But unfortunately, just like Pharaoh did, when the heat is taken off, man's heart returns to its original intention. As someone has said, the steps of God from mercy to judgment are always slow, reluctant, and measured. I mean, this silence, it marks the transition from 2,000 years of grace to judgment. God is preparing to literally bring hell on the earth. These seven angels stand before God, each holding a trumpet. In God's word, seven trumpets have a special meaning for Israel, and I want to give you a short little drive-by study teaching on this. The book of Numbers. Moses was given instructions by God for the making of two silver trumpets. Now, two in scripture is a number of what? Two is a number of witnesses. Deuteronomy 19:15. One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. These two trumpets had a twofold use in the 40 years Israel spent in the wilderness. In Numbers 10, verse 2, they were for calling the congregation and for directing the movements of the camps. But when Israel entered the Promised Land, the trumpets were used for two other purposes. We read in Numbers 10, verses 9 and 10, when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also on the day of your gladness, in your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. And they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. A single trumpet was blown in the wilderness to assemble the leaders. Numbers 10, verse 4. I believe this single trumpet corresponds to the last trump, which Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 15. Why do I believe this? Well, because this trumpet was for the bringing together of a certain group out of Israel, and the last trump is for a certain group called the church. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, 52. Now, some believe this last trump of 1 Corinthians 15 is the seventh trump of Revelation. But as we're going to see in a couple of weeks, these are two separate events. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So what is Paul saying there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? Let me interpret it for you. The shout is a voice of Christ. The voice of the archangel literally means Christ's voice is like that of an archangel. The trump of God is still his voice. His voice will sound like that of a trumpet. Where do we get this from, that Christ's voice will sound like a trumpet? Well, I'm glad you guys are thinking that. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, the Apostle John says he heard a voice like the sound of a trumpet. Well, John turns around, and what does he see? he sees the glorified Christ. When Paul speaks of the last trump, the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised, he's speaking of the call of none other than Jesus Christ. The Old Testament type is calling Israel's leaders when one trumpet was blown. It had no relation to Israel moving forward in the wilderness. Now, I need you to follow me on this. When the trumpet sounded an alarm, Israel would move in the wilderness. Each division also had an alarm that sounded for them to move. So let me break this down to you. The 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob's 12 sons, were divided into four groups of three tribes. Each of the three tribes camped on the four sides of the tabernacle of meeting, the tent in the wilderness. There were also three separate families of Levi, the priests, who carried the articles of furniture that was in the tabernacle. There was Kohath, Gershon, and Merari. So when you put the four groups together and the three families of Levi, you get seven. There were seven blowing of the trumpets to move Israel out. You see, when the first trumpet was blown, the ark moved out with the Kohathites carrying it. Then the tribe of Judah will move out with the two other tribes under the banner of Judah, and so on until they were all moving. It took seven trumpets to move all the children of Israel out. So knowing what these trumpets are about will keep us from identifying the last trump as being that of the church with the seven trumpets of Revelation. The golden altar is a place where prayer is offered. It means incense would be a type of prayer. Incense speaks of the value of Christ's name. It speaks of his work in prayer. What's amazing is the prayers of the saints, which were offered under the fifth seal, are now being answered. Remember Revelation 6:10? How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Israel's high priest would take a censer with him as he carried the blood of an animal, a sacrifice animal, into the Holy of Holies. You had the holy place where the priest ministered, and then behind the veil you had the holiest of holies where the Ark of the Covenant was. The high priest of that year, once a year, they would go into the holiest of holies with the blood of an animal to sprinkle on the mercy seat. Well, that mercy seat spoke of Jesus Christ. That blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat, speaking of Christ. It was a picture of what was going to take place when Christ went to the cross and shed his blood for us to have that ultimate atonement for our sins. Amazing. Notice here the ritual is reversed. Out of heaven, the censer is thrown to the earth. It's reversed. It means the prayers that ascended as incense are now coming down as the answer. I love that. Man, don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. Prayer is our greatest weapon we have on this side of heaven. Man, that's the greatest weapon we have. Those on earth who have rejected the death of Christ for the judgment of their sins are now having to bear the judgment for their own sin. They wouldn't accept what Christ did on the cross for their sin. So now they're having to bear it on their own. Thunders speak of the coming storm of God's judgment. Voices speak of God directing these events. He's in total control. Lightnings follow the thunder. The earthquake is the earth's response to the severe pressure that will be placed on the earth during the judgment of the Great Tribulation period. Intense severe pressure on this planet. Again, understand these plagues we're about to read are all literal plagues. There is nothing, absolutely nothing symbolic here. It's all literal. Judgment falls on the plant life, from the grass to the trees. Every form of botanical life is affected first. It's only one third, but it makes an incredible impact on the earth. Notice what God uses in his judgment. Fire. History records the flood was used in the first judgment of the world. Now it's going to be by fire. The earth will be purified by fire. Here's what's fascinating. Plant life was the first to be created. Now it's the first to be destroyed. The sea, which covers most of the earth's surface, is affected next by God's judgment. In Genesis 1, verses 9 to 10, the separation of the land and the sea took place on the same day when plant life appeared. You following what's going on here? This mountain falls into the sea. One third becomes blood. One third of all living creatures in the sea die, and one third of the ships are destroyed. One third of fresh water is polluted. It means the drinking water for mankind will be contaminated. Fresh water is essential for man and animal. The sweet waters are made bitter by what some believe could be a meteor. A star called Wormwood falls out of heaven. Now, Wormwood is a name used in the Old Testament in different ways, and it's the only place you find the name Wormwood. First, it's used as idolatry of Israel. Deuteronomy 29, verse 18. Secondly, it's used as calamity and sorrow in Jeremiah 9:15 and Jeremiah 23:15, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 15 and 19. Thirdly, it's used as false judgment in Amos chapter 5, verse 7. So that's all we have that we know about with wormwood. Mankind on earth is dependent on the sun for light and life, and to a lesser degree, on the moon and stars. It was on the fourth day these heavenly bodies appeared. Now the light is put out over one third of the earth. Genesis records God had the greater light to rule by day, the sun, and the lesser light to rule by night, the moon. They were for signs and seasons. It made me think of what Jesus said in Matthew 24:29. In the Great Tribulation, there would be special signs in these heavenly bodies. Listen to what Jesus said. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun was darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I mean, the laws of nature will be radically altered by these changes. When the fourth trumpet is blown, the announcement is made of an intensity of woe and judgment. These next three trumpets will bring severe, horrific judgment on the earth. Judgment as has never happened on this earth, nor ever will happen again. The word angel in verse 13 actually means eagle. In Matthew 24, verses 27-28, speaking about this time period, Jesus used the eagle to speak of his second coming. Listen to what he said. For as a lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Jesus was speaking of after the battle of Armageddon, at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. It's a reference of his second coming because every eye will see him returning to the earth. Here's what you need to remember as we wrap this chapter up. In the rapture, when Christ comes for every born-again believer and we go up and meet him in the clouds of the air to be taken to the third heaven where God's throne is, to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the rewards will be handed out. In the rapture, he's coming as a thief. And only those who are watching will be ready and go. At his second coming, every eye on the planet will see him returning with his church to come back to set up his 1,000-year millennial reign. Next time, we're going to look at chapter 9. We're going to cover the fifth and sixth trumpets. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time that you've given us to study your word. God, we're living in really troublesome, chaotic times. But for us as born-again believers, it's exciting because all these things were prophesied and predicted that would take place. And then the end would be. And we're going to be with you for all eternity, Lord. Oh, we can't wait. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Till then, help us, Lord, to understand what your word is teaching us and to be able to live our lives accordingly. We love you, Father, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.